So we, as most of you know, we have three of our monks are on pilgrimage in India. Departed December 5th, so a little over 3 weeks. So they're, right now they're in Karakudi area, heading for Tanjavur and then for Chidambaram. Going to have a three-day stay at Chidambaram very soon. And they timed it so that they're there for the major festival day of the year, Ardra Darshanam, which is January 3rd in India, or January 2nd here. And the most important day for Nataraja of the year. So in our own temple, we have 12 ceremonies, one a month on the Ardra Nakshatra, but this one, the one in the month of December 15th to January 15th, is the most important one. So that's January 2nd. Any of you who are here on January 2nd, that's our 9 a.m. puja on January 2nd. It's the major one of the year. So I was thinking about Shiva temples, and in the daily Master Course lesson from Gurudeva, there's been a couple of lessons about the Shiva temple recently. I thought I'd read and then comment on. Sloka 101 from Dancing with Shiva. What is the nature of the Shiva temple? The Shiva temple is the abode of God Shiva and gods, and the precinct in which the three worlds consciously commune. It is specially sanctified, possessing a ray of spiritual energy connecting it to the celestial worlds. Bhasya. The three pillars of Saivism are the temples, the scriptures, and the Satgurus. These we revere, for they sustain and preserve the ancient wisdom. Shiva temples, whether they be small village sanctuaries or towering citadels, are esteemed as God's home and consecrated abode. In the Shiva temple, we draw close to God Shiva and find a refuge from the world. His grace permeating everywhere is most easily known within the precincts of the Shiva temple. It is in the purified milieu of the temple that the three worlds can commune most perfectly, that devotees can establish harmony with inner plane spiritual beings. When the spiritual energy, Shakti, invoked by the puja permeates the sanctum sanctorum and floods out to the world, Saivites know they are in a most holy place where God and the gods commune with them. Within most Shiva temples are private rooms, sanctums for Lord Ganesha and Lord Kartikeya, and shrines for the many gods and saints. The Vedas explain, even as the radiance of the sun enlightens all regions, above, below, and slantwise, so that only God, glorious and worthy of worship, rules over all his creation. Om Namah Shivaya. One more. How are Shiva temples founded and built? Sloka 102. Shiva temples are founded by God himself, often designated in a vision or a dream of a devout Saivite, then erected by temple craftsmen, usually following Agamic law. In such a holy place, holiness itself can reside. Because of its holiness, a Shiva temple is most often and properly established by God Shiva through his devotees and not founded by men. Once the site is known, hereditary temple architects known as sthapatis are commissioned to design and construct the temple. By tradition, every stone is set in place according to the sacred architecture found in the Agamic scriptures. When properly consecrated, the temple becomes a place upon the earth in which the three worlds can communicate for the upliftment of mankind and the fulfillment of Shiva's dharmic law. Shiva has deliberately established many temples to communicate his love to his children throughout the world, who live in every country of the world and long for their Lord's ever-present love. They build temples in his name and install his image, chant his praises, and thus invoke his presence. Lord Shiva accepts all these temples as his own and sends a divine ray to vivify and vitalize them. Shiva's Vedas enunciate, Brahman is the priest, Brahman the sacrifice. By Brahman the posts are erected. From Brahman the officiating priest was born. In Brahman is concealed the oblation. Om Namah Shivaya. So I was thinking about that, about visions, and as Gurudeva's lesson says, Shiva temples are most properly founded upon a vision. So when it comes to Chidambaram, the tradition says, Shiva is said to have revealed a vision of his cosmic dance to Patanjali, Vyagrapadar, and to all the devas there. So that's the idea of Chidambaram. It's founded upon the vision of Shiva's dancing to Patanjali and Vyagrapada. The website said something interesting. I didn't realize this. The Devaram hymns were rediscovered here after a long hiatus under the initiative of the monarch Rajaraja Chola. The Chidambaram temple predates the Devaram hymns. The imperial Cholas considered Nataraja to be their tutelary deity and heap patronage on this temple. And their tradition was continued by the Pandyas and the Vijayanagar kings. So I hadn't realized that Cholas and Nataraja were so tightly bound together. So in case of our own Yerevan temple, of course, we have Gurudeva's vision. It took place in, don't tell me, February 15th, 1975. Is that right? 73? February 15th, 1975. Gurudeva had a very powerful vision of Shiva, where we now have our Swayambhu Lingam out there. It was in the early morning of February 15th, 1975, and ever since that day, we've done puja to the lingam to sustain the vibration, sustain the vision, sustain the hookup to the inner worlds, and recently we've added the sanctum of the nearby Iravan temple to it. So first we do the puja to the Shiva Swayambhu Lingam, and then we come over to the sanctum, of course, which doesn't have an image yet, and we do the puja there. So we're starting to hook the two up. The idea is that we've been sustaining the power of the vision through our simple daily puja now since 1975, and the temple will expand upon it, draw upon that vision, draw upon the power that we've been sustaining since 1975, so 31 some years, when the pujas there start in on a regular basis. So it's a very important vision, and as the text says, Shiva temples are properly founded upon a vision. So to emphasize that, we've decided to start a yearly puja on the day of the vision. So ceremonies are not done on the Western calendar. They're done usually on the nakshatra or sometimes the titi. So the nakshatra is Revati nakshatra. So Revati nakshatra in the month of Kumbha is the day. So that this year we're going to start February 20th. Going to have a ceremony out there at 6 a.m. to commemorate Gurudeva's vision and then start doing that every year. And those of us who were here in 1975, the vision is very much alive in our minds, but many of us weren't here. So we want to impress the fact that this vision happened, and it's the founding vision for the Yerevan temple, which is quite powerful and is written up in Island Temple. If you haven't read it, describes it in detail there. Very special. So we need a good name for that festival. I don't have one at the moment, but one possibility is Parameshwara Anubhava. How's that? Vision of the primal soul. Vision of Shiva as personal God. Parameshwara Anubhava. Possibility? So I've been doing some work in Gurudeva's Shum language, the language of meditation. I thought I'd share some of that. So one of the write-ups that Gurudev has done is on what he calls the four perspectives or four ways of looking at things in terms of seeking knowledge. So if we go through those. We have words in the Shum language for each of those, so we're going through two examples which utilize these perspectives. So the perspective on which the language is based is the Shumi perspective, or Shum perspective. The Shumi perspective is that the mind is a solid, the inner mind, and awareness flows from one area of it to another, as the traveler would travel from one city to another. The cities do not move, the traveler does. The Simnif perspective is that everything is moving in the inner mind with form and things, and that the awareness of the person watching does not move. One is stationary while looking into a microscope and seeing new forms of life. One is stationary when looking into an ocean or lake and seeing schools of fish moving here and there. These two perspectives, Shumif and Simnif, are exactly opposite one from another. The Mulif perspective is a philosophical one, metaphysical, psychological. It is the perspective of some of the religions of the world. It is the perspective that all realization, understanding, is worked out within and among people and their minds. In this perspective, one is unaware of the gods, the three perfections of Lord Shiva, the existence of people on other planets, spacecraft. It is more of a subjective, intellectual perspective as to the nature of the universe, God, and man. Realization is often attained through simply understanding deep philosophical concepts. This would be an intellectual realization, not a spiritual one. The Dimphi perspective is one that acknowledges, understands, and communicates with God and gods, beings on the astral plane, people from other planets. It is here that all psychic phenomena takes place, and the mind is open to all kinds of possibilities of the extraterrestrial, out-of-body experiences, etc. Here, reincarnation is understood. The two perspectives, Mulif and Dimphi, are exactly opposite. These four perspectives of consciousness are complete within themselves. Each one has its obvious limitations. Yet each one is an area that people are caught up in and unable to move out of. There is a fifth perspective, Dinamif. One spiritually unfolds into of being able to be totally in one or another of the four perspectives or all the four at once. This is to be striven for in the spiritual unfoldment. Saivite meditations produce. Shankaran Vedanta is the Mulif perspective. Dualistic Saivasiddhanta is the Dimphi perspective. Accepting everything, gods, all life, the Charya Kriya path. The Shumif perspective is basically yoga. The Simnif perspective is where people ordinarily are when not in Vedanta or Siddhanta. To psychoanalyze your problems would be in the Mulif perspective. To take them to the feet of Lord Murugan would be the Dimphi perspective. To move awareness away from the problem into a happier state of mind and then look back and understand the karmas involved is the Shumif perspective. To be injected by a psychiatrist with a chemical drug to alleviate the problem would be the Simnif perspective. So that's a very interesting statement worth commenting on. So, for example, let's say we're depressed. It's a typical problem. How do we handle our depression? Well, in religious approach, we would come to the temple and pray and try and be uplifted. That's the religious perspective, which Gurudeva calls deep E. So we take our problem to the feet of the deity and hope the deity will take it away. The other approach is meditation, which is related. So we look at depression as an area of the mind that we're stuck in, and we find a way through meditation to move our awareness to another area of the mind that isn't depressed. That's the meditative approach to solving the problem of depression. Then there's the problem of the way of talking it over, psychoanalysis. We talk it over with someone.